Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Alrighty, back again for the Friday episode of the Nate Darling Show. With me, as always, Kareem.
I'm in North Carolina.
Ah, it's dried out for you. Jason, still under the weather. So, speedy recovery to him. We will have shows next week, but not the following week, as I will be in Vermont the first week in October.
Vermont?
Vermont. Going to visit my dad.
Oh, so bad as an eye.
But we will definitely have, someone here to shoot you up if you try to come to the house.
That's right.
Because it's just me going.
All the dogs will get you.
The dogs, the father-in-law.
The hounds of hell.
The cats. I mean, yeah, it's a lot. You're not getting in here. You're not getting out alive. All right. Let's see what we got going here. So I promised... oh, it's a message from Jason. I already saw that. Promised last show to tell the story of my first Harley ride.
Okay.
First Harley ride. So last week, after taking the, motorcycle safety course, I got my motorcycle license, which was a blast. Happy to get it. But when you take the safety course, for the most part, what they have for motorcycles are 125s.
Okay.
Which are very small. They have a top speed of, I believe, 60 miles per hour.
Okay.
And they're not the most advanced bikes, but you do learn your basic safety. You're riding around a parking lot. And they had a couple of, like, Honda Rebels, which are 250s.
Yeah.
They only gave those to people who had ridden motorcycles before.
That makes sense.
So that was what they're like, we don't want to give these to people who don't know what they're doing. So anyway, fast forward. The motorcycle I have to ride is a Harley-Davidson Sportster 883, which is a small Harley, but it's a small Harley-Davidson. It's still a pretty powerful bike. So Sunday, I got up early because I wanted to be out before anything was happening on the roads, and my goal was just to ride around the neighborhood here, go over and get gas because it was getting obvious the gas tank was low. So I got up, got all geared up, and my father-in-law lives in the house behind us. And as I'm getting geared up, he's walking out because he's going to go to get himself some coffee. And so he heads out, and then I head out. I see him again as he's pulling out of Starbucks because that's where I'm going to the gas station.
Okay.
So I do that, get gas, that's successful, come back home, park the bike outside, and he comes pulling up, and he's been to Starbucks and the grocery store. And he says to me, "You weren't gone very long." And I said, no, I wasn't. I was just, you know, I'd never ridden the Harley before. This was my first ride.
Yeah.
I was happy to just be able to start it, shift it, stop it, do all the things I needed to do because it's, how can I put this right? If you've ever driven a small car with no power, you know what that is. That's like these bikes.
Yeah.
You know, you got pushed down. It takes you 12 seconds to get to 30.
Yeah.
Those cars. That's what the bike was. And then have you ever stepped into a sports car where you step down on the gas and if you put too much gas to it, the tires will spin and go a little sideways?
Yeah.
That's the difference between the two in terms of power. So I'm being overly cautious because I've never ridden a motorcycle before I took the safety course. And he says to me, he goes, "Hey, you know, it's a really nice day to take a ride out on the River Road." And if you're not from the Sacramento area, the River Road goes from West Sac up along the Sacramento River, the west side of the Sacramento River, and goes under the interstate just west of the airport, and you end up in Woodland.
Yeah.
So about 15 to 20 miles from here. And I said, "Oh, well, that's maybe I'll do that." So I come in, go to use the restroom, stuff like that. I'm still in the restroom, and I hear a little knock on the door. And my wife gets up and answers the door. And I come out, and she goes, hey, Dad says if you want to go on that ride, he'll go with you. So now I have an offer.
Yeah.
For my father-in-law to go on a ride. So I'm not turning this. There's no way I'm turning this down. I said, yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, it's his birthday, too.
Oh, okay.
So not only is he offering to take me out on this ride, he's doing it on his birthday. And he's been riding for quite some time. He's got a really nice Victory V-twin. He's got a big bike.
Yeah.
And a lot of experience riding. He's in a motorcycle club, the whole thing. He says, give me 10 minutes. So he goes and gets his stuff. We come back out and, he gives me almost no instruction. And I wouldn't expect him to.
Yeah.
But we head off and we go and we ride up through there. And, he takes it easy and I'm going, it's not a busy morning. And I've never been fat in the parking lot. 20 miles an hour was the tops.
Yeah.
Okay. Going around the neighborhood, 30 was the tops.
Yeah.
I get out on the river road and I'm doing like 40 and I'm like, yeah, this is going pretty good. This is going pretty fast.
Yeah.
and he held back. He kept an eye on his mirrors and he didn't get too far ahead of me. We get out there and you get almost to within the road gets really rough.
Yeah.
So I have to slow down a little bit because literally your eyes start vibrating.
Yeah.
And I'm not, again, I haven't ridden a motorcycle. I'm not used to that.
And the river road is not a road that you want to not be doing what you're doing.
Well, at that point we were away from the river. It would have just been going off into the field.
Yeah.
Anyway, we pull off, we get to these warehouses and he pulls off and I pull up beside him. He turns off his bike and we have a little conversation about, you know, what you need to do. He goes, by the way, when I put my leg out to one side, that means there's a pothole over there. So watch out for it. And I said, oh, okay, great. Again, that would have been really good information before we left. But still, you know, I was sort of following him. He was also doing a little weaving back and forth.
Yeah.
I didn't ask him about that. I assume it was just to keep from being bored going 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, when you get out on the straight, are you gunning it? And I said, no, I'm not. And he goes, what you need to do is you need to gun it a little bit. You only need to keep the throttle on. You just need to go a little faster and then you just get used to it and then let off a little bit. Just gun it a little bit, let it go. And I said, all right. So we start to head back. And he goes and he takes this turn to this road that we didn't, it's a side road. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what's going on here. So we go over and you go up and you go over these railroad tracks. And then the road gets really rough. And there's a sign next to the road that says, this area prone to flooding. There's potholes. We're going through here. And I see him kick his leg out one side. Yep, there's a pothole. Kicks his leg out the other side. Yep, there's another pothole. There's a fuck ton of potholes on this road. And we get maybe a quarter mile up there and he pulls off onto the side and I pull off like I'm thinking he's got something to say. Nope. He turns around, comes back out. So I pull around, come back out. We come back out to the river road. We come back down. I'm doing what he tells me on the main drive. I'm speeding up. I had it up to 55, which is the speed limit coming back a couple of times. So I'm pretty happy with myself. And we get back. And, you know, and he also gave me the speech about how people are assholes, so you gotta watch out for them.
Yeah.
Again, I know this, but it's always good advice. No matter what you're driving, people are assholes, you gotta watch out for them. We get back, and, my wife says, how'd it go? And I said, well, I'm back in one piece. I didn't kill myself, and I didn't go off the road.
Yes.
I'm gonna call that a success.
That is a success.
And, you know, and then of course he starts busting my chops going, yeah, had to ride it in fourth gear. Okay. I'll take that. You knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
Do you think I just got my motorcycle license. Let's go 80. No, yeah. I'm not 22. I'm 48. I'm not going to get out on the motorcycle and just hammer it.
Especially not on the river road because you will end up in the fucking river.
Well, you'll end up tumbling down into a fucking field.
Yeah.
If I go in the river, then it's like, all right, at least I land in the river.
Yeah.
I go in the other way into the field, I'm in a goddamn field or something. Anyway, and so I go, hey, what was the deal with that side road that we went down? Cause I thought, you know, my thought was, oh, this is kind of a little scenic side road. We'll do this. He goes, oh, I just wanted to show you about the signaling for potholes. So he told me about this, and because apparently he's dealt with a lot of really stupid people, because not only did he tell me that when I stick my leg out like this, that's because there's a pothole there, he then brought me onto a road where he could show me.
Yeah.
I don't know what the end game was, because either I'd get it or I'd hit a giant pothole. I don't know, but it was just really, I mean, it was really, really sweet of him to do that.
That's how you know your father-in-law likes you.
Yeah. And then we went out for breakfast for his birthday. But it really was a blast. It reminded me a little bit of riding snowmobiles when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because my dad would take me out snowmobile riding, and when I was a really little kid, I got what they call so Arctic Cat is a brand of snowmobile.
Okay.
Okay. And they made a little miniature snowmobile called the Kitty Cat.
Okay.
And when I was 4 or 5, I came down on Christmas morning, and there was one of those next to the tree.
Oh, cool.
Which, probably the most expensive Christmas gift my parents ever got me.
Okay.
I don't know how much they were at the time, but you're talking mid-70s.
Yeah.
So we got that, and I ride that and stuff like that. It's very low, small speed, whatever like that. As I got a little bit older, I was able to graduate to what was my mother's snowmobile, because she didn't really like riding, but it was a full-size Arctic Cat snow machine. Or snowmobile. My dad calls them snow machines. Anyway, yeah. So fuck you if you're criticizing Sarah Palin for calling them snow machines. People call them snow machines.
Okay.
Fuck you. Anyway, there were times where we'd ride, and there's snowmobile trails all over Vermont, and they're marked, and landowners give permission to use the space. But I remember going on rides with him pretty infrequently, because by that time he had bought the farm. We didn't have a lot of time. But I remember going on a few rides with him where he would go ahead and I would just have to follow him.
Right.
And I just had a little bit of flashbacks to that. So it was kind of cool with that, except on a snowmobile, you have to pay attention, but not like on a motorcycle.
Right.
And as I'm riding back and I'm going, you just have this realization that if you lose focus for like a second,
yeah,
you could die.
Yes.
even if you're doing like 40 or 50, you can kill yourself on a motorcycle pretty easily.
Yeah.
If you don't pay attention.
I know three people that have.
And here's the thing. As I had that thought, my next thought was, what the fuck are you doing thinking about this? Why aren't you focused?
You know, I haven't told you stories about the people that I know, who passed on motorcycles specifically for that reason.
Well, here's the thing though. I know people get killed on motorcycles.
Yeah.
I know people who have gotten into terrible accidents on motorcycles.
Yeah.
Had cars turn in front of them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A good portion of those times, the reason they had that accident was because they weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things about taking a safety class that was super important, that they emphasized over and over and over and over and over again. You are in control. If you don't pay attention, bad things will happen.
Yeah.
And they didn't show us like grotesque films or anything like that. It was just like, you have to pay attention always.
Yeah.
You don't have the luxury of daydreaming on a motorcycle.
Yes.
Even when it's 8 a.m. and you're driving up the river road and there's no traffic.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's a lot of fun. It really is. I feel there's fun. I'm going to be riding the bike to commute. I want to get, you know, I want to get a little more experience with it, but I was able to, again, it shifts so much nicer.
Yeah.
Than those shit bikes that they had and the best way to learn is on a shitty vehicle.
Yeah.
Because then when you get into a decent vehicle, you're like, all right, I can do this.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that I'm never going to be the guy going 100. That's the other thing. I'm not, That's not in my DNA.
Yeah.
To be like, I'm going to get out there and open her wide up. No,
no.
That is absolutely positively not now, nor has it ever been in my DNA. So, the one thing I noticed, because I have a very big chest.
Yeah.
When you rev it and go faster, you know what you become? A fucking sail.
Yeah.
You become a fucking sail. And by the way, when you're holding on to a motorcycle, what are you holding on with? Holding on with your legs.
Yeah.
You're holding on with your hands. One hand is turning a throttle.
Yeah.
And when you're riding safely, the other hand has your thumb around the bottom of the hand grip and your fingers are over the clutch, resting over the clutch. That is not a tight grip.
No.
So the idea of going super fast like that, it has no appeal to me. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. So, yeah, I just want to get from point A to point B and have a reasonably good time.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to be like, yeah, look how fast I broke 100 on the, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's bad times. Bad time. And I have no ego about this.
Yeah.
I'm not like, look how quickly I picked it. No. Absolutely not. Because you know what it is? Look how quickly I dumped it.
Yeah.
That, as soon as you start thinking about, look how great I am at this without, yeah, that's when you end up in a ditch.
Yeah. You don't want to do that.
No, not at all. So, anyway, that was my story.
Hilarious.
Although it's funny, and I appreciate that you sort of held back on that, but so many of my friends, when I told them I was getting my motorcycle license, were like, well, don't end up in the hospital.
Yeah.
It was like literally the first thing out of their mouth.
Yeah, and I'm still not telling you those stories.
Everybody I know that's been on a motorcycle has wrecked it. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who've ridden motorcycles for quite some time who haven't wrecked it, so.
Me too.
Yeah, of course it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen. It can happen to me driving the Jeep to work.
That is true.
I mean, I have people pull out in front of me in that all the time, and that's a big red box. So,
yeah.
That's what she said. Anywho, I think the lesson here, kids, is don't huff paint.
He is known for frequently huffing paint, is back behind bars, this time accused of beating his mother in the head with a spatula. Glenn Kastorf is charged with malicious wounding. St. Albans police say they responded to a domestic call on McKinley Avenue and found Kastorf covered in that silver spray paint and holding a large steel bar. They found his mother inside the home covered in blood and her head wrapped in gauze. Kastorf is now in the South Central Regional Jail on a $10,000 bond.
He is well known to police for frequently huffing spray paint. Not just known, well known.
They should take the other end of that spatula and stick it up his nose for hitting his mother.
Well, in jail, that might happen to you. So... there's a lot of jokes about the Bay Area and how everybody's a hippie and blah, 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 blah. Well, this sort of cements that. The Berkeley City Council has voted for meatless meetings.
What?
That's right. All of the Ron Swanson types in the city of Berkeley's government, if there are any, are likely going to be disappointed with the resolution passed recently by the Berkeley City Council to exclusively serve vegan food at its facilities on Mondays. If you're not aware, Ron Swanson's a fictional city employee portrayed by Nick Offerman on the show Parks and Recreation, and was a notorious meat lover. And if there are any hardcore meatitarians like Swanson, they have a new reason to hate coming into the office on Mondays or any other day of the week. The Green Mondays resolution that passed in real life resolved that wherein all city-owned and city-managed facilities and programs will provide only plant-based foods on Mondays or any other day of the week. Although the day of the week where Berkeley is going vegan isn't settled, the city council's resolution states that they will only offer vegan food at all of their meetings. Excuse me. The resolution was introduced by city council members Kate Harrison, Cheryl DeVia, and Sophie Hahn to address a resolution passed in June declaring climate, energy, and setting a goal for the city to be fossil fuel free by 2030.
Okay, I can live with the fossil fuel free thing, but why the fuck are you trying to make me eat shit that I don't want to eat?
Well, you don't have to eat it. You're just not going to get served anything else if you come.
No.
They say scientific analysis have shown that one of the most effective ways for a person to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions is to reduce or eliminate their consumption of meat and dairy. By systematically reducing meat and dairy consumption, the citizens of Berkeley can accomplish two objectives: substantially reducing our collective greenhouse gas emissions and serving as a model for other municipalities across the country and around the world.
Hey, if I want to eat meat, that's my prerogative.
Here's what I say. How about you don't bring food? How about Berkeley City Council is a BYO lunch?
Yes.
How about that? Then not only do you reduce your greenhouse emissions, you reduce your cost to the city because you don't have to buy your fucking vegan lunch.
Exactly.
Does your work buy you lunch?
No.
Mine doesn't either.
Expensive as vegan lunch.
Well, yeah, that you're in Berkeley, of course it's going to be.
And it's vegan.
Unbelievable. All right, so you remember Coach Dave? Coach Dave, who we believe is secretly gay?
Yes.
He's back.
The devil has seized control of most of our churches. Now, what I mean by seized control of most of our churches, he's not necessarily standing in the pulpit, but he has created an atmosphere in the church where we are complicit and compliant and comfortable with sin. He has. We see the average church will not speak out against homosexuality because we've let the salt of the world come into the church, and now we're convinced people are born that way and we're just to love them and all that stuff. And a watering down of the gospel of Jesus, that the devil has taken a long, long march through the institution. I want to show you in Romans 1, verse 17, that we would see, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live for faith." Now watch. "For the wrath of God is currently being revealed." The wrath of God is revealed. It's being revealed right now. What we see going on around us is the wrath of God. What do you mean, the wrath of God? Well, it means this.
By the way, Romans 1 is not written today.
No.
And by the way, Romans 1 is not numbered out like he has it on the screen. That looks more like a BuzzFeed article.
And again, it's listed in Deuteronomy, and it's not, it's like number 19 of 20 something things you shouldn't do.
Yeah. Deuteronomy. Yes.
When your own children get out of control and you've reached the point where you don't think you can do anything about it, you say, "Oh, well, you're going to do what you're going to do." And that's the hand of God being taken off. That is the wrath of God being poured out. I say, "Okay, I ain't going to mess with you. If you're going to do that, you're going to do it."
Well, that just sounds like poor parenting and laziness.
Yes.
I mean, if your kid is gay, then your kid is gay.
Yeah.
No amount of you're not doing that is going to be effective because they're gay.
Again, and I've said this I don't know how many times on the show, if you think homosexuality is unnatural, you have not spent any time in nature.
I think he is a self-hating gay.
I think he is too.
I think there's no way around it.
Those homos are without excuse.
Absolutely. Romans 1 tells us that.
They're right there without excuse. And why do they have an excuse? Because we excuse them. We give them an excuse. Say, well, yeah, maybe God did make it that way. See, folks, that's the judgment of God. When the righteous are unrighteous, or when we hold the truth and unrighteousness, that's a judgment of God. You see what's going on? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they came vain and their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. They became professing themselves to be wise. They became fools and began to follow scientific studies and researchers and college professors.
Yeah, how dare you follow researchers and college? That's not, and now he's just veering out of the Bible now.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have researchers and college professors then. He's gone off the rails.
He's an idiot.
He really is.
Started following all this stuff, and then all these experts come into the church, and the next thing you know, they've taken control of the church, and they've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into image like an incorruptible man, and the birds, the four-footed beasts, creeping things. So God just said, "That's it, man." So God also gave them over to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You change the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever, for this cause. For what cause? We just read it. We just read the cause. God gave them up to vile affections. For even
why
the woman did change the natural use.
Why is he so angry?
God isn't going to judge America because of homosexuality. Homosexuality is the judgment of God on America. Calm me down here, Coach. Calm down.
So what is, so homosexuality is the judgment of God on America. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, here's the other thing. There's gays everywhere.
Yeah.
There's homosexuals everywhere.
Not just America, so.
All over the world.
Yeah.
All over the world. Hey, and there's also racists everywhere, too. a video in which an Oregon woman challenges another woman's legal status in an apparent racist rant has been viewed more than 900,000 times. Now the woman who's uttered the words has moved out of the area because of backlash, according to her mother. Selena Carell posted the video on her Facebook page last Wednesday, writing, "I was out with some friends last night in Portland and had a terrible encounter with a girl who was saying the nastiest, most racist things possible." The video shows a woman sitting in her car with another woman in the passenger seat. We'll play it in a second. They were parked next to each other near Portland's Voodoo Donut Shop. So it started when she had said in the most demeaning, poor excuse of a supposed Asian accent that she's Asian. You'll hear it in a second. The woman's mother told COIN, which is a TV station in Portland, that her daughter is sorry and realizes that she made a mistake. She said police have been keeping an eye on their home after they received threatening phone calls. That's not okay, by the way. Her mother said her daughter is of Native American descent from a tribe in Alaska. That's still no excuse. COIN6 has not been able to reach the woman for comment. The viral video has had an impact on the woman's former employer, Stars Cabaret Bridgeport. The strip club has received so many angry phone calls that the manager posted a message on the club's Facebook page saying, "We would like to publicly address, due to the calls and messages coming through, that we do not have a staff member or entertainer by the name of Redacted our establishment." The club owner told COIN that the woman had not worked as a dancer for at least 6 months and then condemned what she said on video. All right, so...
Wait. So how are you going to be a stripper?
Former stripper now.
Former stripper. And try to down somebody about their status?
Well, let's take a listen. Maybe she's got a point. I'm going to guess no, but okay. Oh, hold on, I have to unmute it here.
And then call the cops.
This is going to be so good.
We'll start
it. Before you say anything, you might want to make sure you're actual legal. And then call the cops.
This is going to be so good.
About what? That you're illegals crossing the border. And your parents probably had to work for fucking dirt just to get here.
This is not
even this real life.
Yes. Like, this is so much fun. So this is the kind of shit I have to deal with?
Okay.
In Portland.
So, now I think that was more of a Mean Girls thing than anything, just the way she was talking. By the way, as she's backing out in her Hyundai, you're dissing somebody for having poor parents and you're driving a Hyundai?
What is wrong with these people?
Oh, she's stupid. Look, the stripper didn't know better, Kareem. I'm sorry. All right.
Stripper.
Well, and Portland. Who would have thought such a thing in Portland? So, by the way, it's just so crazy. Now, you probably heard by now that Tucker Carlson and Markel Avenatti fought, and it was a bit of a train wreck. Carlson's lower third chyrons kept using the creepy porn lawyer nickname when Avenatti asked Carlson when he last watched porn. So, The View weighed in on it.
I met Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti, on Tucker Carlson last night. Things went exactly the way you kind of thought they might. Let's take a look.
You're exploiting her, and you know that. Why aren't you paying her some of what you're making?
Sir, this is absurd.
It's not absurd. Those are the facts.
No, you don't know the facts, as evidenced by the fact
that
you
don't even know. Is she working in strip clubs?
Are you going to continue to interrupt me, or are you going to let me
finish? I do know the facts, actually.
You're the one that refers to her consistently as a porn star, and as to me as a creepy porn lawyer, and meanwhile, you give the president a pass who had unprotected sex with the porn star with a 4-month-old son at home.
Well, you're on every table show. You're running for president. president now.
You have no idea.
Well, I know that you haven't paid your taxes.
How do you have a show and you're this ignorant?
Uh-huh.
When's the last time you saw porn?
Oh, you busted me. Actually, maybe humiliation porn.
No,
that's why I watch you on CNN.
No, but...
Creepy porn lawyer. Great to see you.
So does anyone really come out on top here?
No.
These two despise each other. I sitting there as a woman watching two men talking about who watches more porn or than the other, I didn't take anything away from this other than it being two men trying to out-macho the other one.
That wasn't what they were talking about.
No, that's fucking Abby Huntsman.
Yeah, she's clearly the smart one.
And it reminded me that so much of TV today is entertainment. The whole porn thing on the creepy porn lawyer on the banner,
yeah.
There were two requirements that Avenatti said, I'm not going to come on unless you don't call me a creepy porn lawyer and you don't interrupt me.
But so, that's fair and balanced.
Well, my takeaway was that Avenatti came out on top because that was Tucker Carlson's show. That Chiron on the bottom is calling him a creepy porn lawyer.
Really?
And you call yourself a television host and it's on a news platform. I mean, that's something we would never be allowed to do. Our legal standards are beyond that.
Right.
We wouldn't be allowed to call a guest that. And to shame, a lawyer for representing a client, why doesn't he call the president the creepy porn president? Why doesn't he...
I find it really, really rich that they're calling sleaze on Fox when... Who ran Fox? Roger Ailes. Out.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Also dead.
Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly. God knows where he is now.
Sexual harassment
all
claims.
That whole place was a sleaze.
Bill O'Reilly has a podcast.
And they're calling Avenatti out of place. Wait a minute. One more thing. He says that how can he, I don't know if we had that in the clip, but how can he allow his client to be a porn star to work in these creepy bars, exposing herself? And first of all, Avenatti has tried to get her to stop that because he's worried about security. That's number one. He told me that.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, he's not exploiting the woman. The woman has got a book out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's making the tour. She's got that let's. Or she's making money.
And this was her profession.
And he's blaming him.
Plus, this was her profession.
Yes.
When Donald Trump slept with her.
That's right.
This was her profession.
By the way,
right.
Every network, it seems like, not here, but CBS and NBC's had their own challenges, have dealt with a lot of problems when it comes
Better
to...
Better not say that too loud, Abby Huntsman.
It's funny she left Fox. Fox and Friends had come to The View.
Yeah.
So, a couple things with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Avenatti did not make her do porn.
No.
She's been doing porn since way before he met her.
Mm-hmm.
He's not pimping her to go to strip clubs.
Nope. That's her choice.
That's her choice. It's weird how women say women have a right to do whatever they want to, but then they're the ones who
shame them for it.
And then Tucker Carlson did the chivalrous white guy thing where, oh, you were exploiting her by making her do that. No, he's not exploiting shit. She decided to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, she was doing it before he met her.
Yeah, and a lot of porn stars supplement their income by going to strip clubs.
Yeah.
Because that's where they make a lot of money with their fans who want to see them, and they bring their movies and they sign autographs and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's nothing new.
Nope. And she's working. She's not doing anything illegal.
Right. She's not hurting anybody.
More power to you.
She's making her own choices.
That's it.
And the hypocrisy is really delightful. Also, Tucker Carlson. How is this guy still? I remember when he was on MSNBC and he had the fucking bow ties. Remember that?
Somebody should have punched him in the face.
Yeah.
I thought Jon Stewart was going to punch him in the face.
Yeah. That was back when MSNBC was like, we're going to be balanced and we're going to hire people on the other side and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I mean, everything has gone so far that Joe Scarborough has come around.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we've gotten to.
Yeah.
And it's not because he's at MSNBC, it's because of what is being dealt with in the country. So, anywho, it's time for our creepy story of the day. An Arizona man duped caregivers into diaper changes. He made up the fact that he was suffering from Down syndrome. He's not. Tricked a series of female caregivers into bathing him, changing his diaper. And according to investigators, they've filed felony sex abuse and fraud charges against him. And as alleged in court documents, the scream by Paul Menchaca, who's 31, began in May when he advertised on CareLinks, a nationwide professional caregiver marketplace that connects clients with home care workers. The response to the ad, a caregiver corresponded solely via text with a woman named Amy who claimed to be his mother. Amy told the caregiver that her son had Down syndrome and required diaper changes and assistance with bathing. Police alleged that Amy, who arranged for the payments and provided care instructions, was actually the man himself. The first caregiver told police that she bathed him and changed his diaper on about 30 occasions. The woman told police that he occasionally complained aggressively that his genitals were not cleaned enough, which prompted her to wipe them more thoroughly. A caregiver added that he had an erection every time his diaper was changed and when he was bathed. Well, that should be your first hint.
Yeah.
Two other caregivers told cops they were hired by Amy to bathe and diaper her son, who they reported was aroused each time his diaper was changed. None of the victims ever met this Amy, and each woman received their payments in cash from the man. A probable cause affidavit filed in Superior Court noted that Amy asked the caregivers to punish her son when he soiled his diaper by putting him in timeout and taking away his privileges. You would never do that to somebody with Down syndrome.
No.
The ruse was exposed by one of the caregivers who had grown suspicious of the client, whom she cared for at what police termed neutral locations, not at his residence. The caregiver followed him home one day and encountered his parents, who said their son did not have Down syndrome and did not require diaper changes.
Wow. Suckers.
During a search of his home in Gilbert, which is a Phoenix suburb, police recovered his cell phone and diapers, amongst other electronic devices. He was named in a 4-count felony complaint, posted $15,000 bond, and was ordered to have no contact with him. We have an update. While under investigation, he resigned August 31st from his job as a classroom aide at a public school in Chandler. He was employed at Bogle Junior High for the last 2 years, only worked with students while being supervised by certified staff, according to the letter from the school's principal that was sent to parents.
Wow.
Unfucking believable. Unbelievable. By the way, wouldn't it be cheaper to just get a hooker?
Pretty much.
I mean, and no less illegal. Just saying. Meanwhile, have you heard of the vampire facial?
No.
Well, you shouldn't, because it's bad for you.
And this is extremely alarming. Customers at an Albuquerque spa are being urged to get tested for HIV after getting vampire facials. You might have heard about this. Kim Kardashian has Instagrammed about it. It's a non-surgical procedure in which a patient's blood is drawn, then partly reapplied to the face. Oh. Health inspectors say procedures at this particular spa could lead to the spread of not only HIV, but also hepatitis B and C.
It made me sick to my stomach right away. Just everything starts coming to mind, you know, the regrets, not knowing you trusted someone so much. You know, you just pretty much trust everything was going to be fine.
At least one customer is believed to have developed some type of infection that may be linked to a procedure performed at the spa.
I enjoyed the point at which the male anchor went, ugh.
Who's doing this dumb shit?
Women. They want to look good for us, Kareem. That's all they want.
No, they don't. Not for us.
Oh, for them.
Yes.
Actually, for other women, so that they can tell them how good they look.
That's crazy.
Meanwhile, police responding to a reported break-in at a Marina area Jamba Juice down in the San Diego area. Arrested two men, including one who was not involved in the store entry, but was in possession of a samurai sword. Around 4:15 a.m., San Diego police officers responded to a report of a person smashing the window of a Jamba Juice. When the officers arrived, they spotted a man inside the store, took him into custody at gunpoint. Meanwhile, another man who happened to be hanging around outside was questioned by officers and arrested after they found he had a samurai sword. I'm of the mind that anybody who is in possession of a samurai sword who is not in fact a samurai should be arrested.
I want a samurai sword. You get a samurai sword.
There's no reason for you to have a samurai sword. I mean, unless you've traveled and gotten trained a la Kill Bill, you don't need a samurai sword.
But I need it.
Oh, my God. I have to... Hold on. Let me see if I can find this really quickly. home samurai... Oh, here we go. If this is what I think it is. Here we go. It's the Shop at Home Network, which used to be a thing. And I had to air it. I had to actually monitor this on the station I was working at. And they had shows where they sold knives. And the show was based out of Tennessee. So there's a lot of talk of knives.
1101-1816 is the item number on this one. And the nice thing about these practice katanas... Oh, that hurt. Oh, that hurt big time.
So he has the sword in his hand. He bangs it on the desk, and then it breaks in half and stabs him.
Oops.
So let's hear that again.
1816 is the item number on this one. And the nice thing about these practice katanas... Oh, that hurt. Oh, that hurt big time. A piece of that, just the tip, just got me, Odell. Oh, just that got tip. Me good.
You all right?
A piece of that tip just got me.
Oh, right now, we may need emergency surgery in the studio.
You always got to watch out for the tip. The tip is always tricky.
Oh, that happened a couple years after I stopped having to be someone who monitored this thing. But they would be on literally every fucking night, Kareem, from like midnight to 2 a.m., selling these fucking sets of like 20 knives for like $150. And like, who is buying a set of 20 knives? And not steak knives, Kareem. These were like hunting, they were like fixed blade knives and folding blade knives. I mean, it was the most hillbilly fucking thing. And then they would just randomly be selling these katanas, which are basically samurai swords, knockoffs. So again, if you have a samurai sword, you should be taken downtown and strip searched. That's all I'm going to say. Oh boy, I was going to talk about the, we had a story about a man who was, having some sort of medical emergency while working at a Shell station in Washington State. And people came in and stepped over him to rob the store. But we have breaking news, Kareem. Breaking news from Virginia, where a man walked into a supermarket and after pulling down his pants began rubbing produce on his buttocks.
The fuck?
The police arrived at the Giant food store in Manassas around 4:30 p.m., in response to a 911 call about destruction of property. Well, indeed, a store worker told Manassas City Police that the suspect was spotted picking up the produce, pulling down his pants, and rubbing the produce on his buttocks and replacing the produce back on the shelf. That's why you have to wash everything.
Oh, my God.
Take that. And they're serving it at the Berkeley City Council meeting. The suspect, identified as Michael Dwayne Johnson, not The Rock, who's 27, was arrested inside the supermarket. He's a Manassas resident charged with indecent exposure, destruction of property. That's both misdemeanors. In response to Johnson's handling of the merchandise, Giant store workers had to destroy several pallets of produce. And there he is, Kareem. He's one of yours.
That's crazy.
I am so happy it's not a white guy for once.
That is just ridiculous. You need to be whooped.
I mean, you couldn't just wash the produce? You got pallets and pallets of produce?
Yeah.
You couldn't, like, sell it to Gallagher? Nothing? The Berkeley City Council? Anything? Anything at all? Ric Flair... tied the knot. Apparently it was a commitment ceremony, not a marriage. But it's now five times. Wendy Barlow is her name. He walked down the aisle to a song called Ric Flair Drip.
Ric Flair Drip.
Ric Flair Drip by Offset 21.
Alrighty then.
That sounds like syphilis, doesn't it?
It does.
I had a case of Ric Flair Drip. He should take something for that. Here's a shot of his lovely bride. There he is in his tuxedo. I think it's got to be a wedding. There they are cutting a cake with a samurai sword.
Wow.
Not a samurai sword. Lovely photo there. Yep, there's the whole family. There's his daughter. Oh, there's Michael P.S. Hayes. You'll recognize him, Kareem.
Yeah.
With his pink suit and fanny pack. The Undertaker, whose hairline, I have to imagine he's got sunglasses on top, but it looks like his hairline has beat a hasty retreat.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else is in here? Anybody we recognize? Yeah, there's just a lot. Oh, Dennis Rodman. There's Dennis Rodman. From North Korea to Ric Flair's wedding, it's Dennis Rodman. Here's Dennis Rodman looking kind of bored during the ceremony.
And he's like right up front.
Front row. There's Rodman and The Undertaker. Yep, there's sunglasses on top. Okay. With Ric Flair. Someone tweeted, hope the table and chair vendors was warned about the guests. That would be amazing. Michael P.S. Hayes, my God. The fabulous Freebird. First of all, I know fanny packs are a big thing amongst wrestlers, and fanny packs are allegedly coming back again. But that looks like a hernia sleeve.
The way he's wearing
that. He's wearing sneakers, a pink suit, vest only, and a fanny pack. That's amazing.
Bad street in the U.S. of A.
And there's no way he's not dying that beard. No way.
Not at all.
Absolutely no way.
He's probably bald as fuck up top.
Hold on. Is that a gun? That looks like a gun.
It does.
He's got a gun in his fanny pack at Ric Flair's wedding. And some wrestling gifs tweeted, Ric Flair has had more weddings than I have friends.
Yeah.
Five times. So congratulations to Ric Flair, who was on death's door not so long ago, but has made a wonderful recovery.
He has a new leaf song.
And enjoy sex toy news.
It is really actually time for sex toy news this time. Not just making that up. Hold on. I'm scrolling too fast, Kareem. That's what's happening all through this. So the question is, which U.S. states are searching for the most sex toys online? The answer might surprise you. The number one state searching for sex toys?
Alabama.
Oklahoma.
Close enough.
Number two is Alaska.
I can't believe that.
Number three, you were just there, North Dakota.
There's nothing to do.
South Dakota didn't even make the top seven. Mississippi came in at number four. Louisiana, number five. Montana, six. Arkansas, seven.
All the states that are supposedly illegal.
So there you go.
All the states that are supposed to be illegal, that's the funny part.
Yeah, because they can't find them. If you can walk into Target and buy one, you are probably not going to be searching for it all online. So, there you go. Oklahoma. And the most repressed.
Yeah. So I wonder what they do. Is that what happens during the tornado?
Right.
They go in the basement during the tornado, and then that's when they find your stash.
Make sure we're stocked up on batteries. I mean, that's the most important thing, is making sure you're stocked up on them batteries. Water and batteries for your dildos. All right, so that's sex toy news for now. Boom, 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 boom. So, we've got a new Queen movie coming out. I think November.
Yeah.
Called Bohemian Rhapsody. Well, Rami Malek, who plays Freddie Mercury, has assured Queen fans that Bohemian Rhapsody doesn't ignore Freddie Mercury's sexuality. Well, thank God.
Like we didn't know.
It's been eight years since Bohemian Rhapsody was first announced, but the biopic with a focus on lead singer Freddie Mercury is finally coming out in November. The film has lost a director and gained a director, and the first trailer proved controversial for ignoring the late frontman's sexual orientation, because Freddie is seen flirting with women but not men in the clip. But in an interview with Attitude Magazine, the Mr. Robot star assured Queen fans that Rhapsody won't shy away from Mercury's sexuality or his AIDS diagnosis. That would kind of be the climax of the film, I would think.
What's the purpose in having it?
He said, it's a shame that people are making remarks after a minute teaser where you just want to see the music. It's difficult. First, let me say, I don't think the film shies away from his sexuality or his all-consuming disease, which is obviously AIDS. I don't know how you can avoid any of that, or if anyone would ever want to. It's a bit absurd that anyone's judging this from a minute trailer. He said the film needed to approach it in a delicate manner. You can't shy away from it. It was an important moment to have in the film, one that is ultimately very sad but also empowering in a way. It shows you how resilient human beings can be and how much we rely on the strength of our family and friends to get us through tough times. This pandemic is still very much a horrific threat to so many people in the world. It exists as a reality for so many that I would think it would be a shame to not address it. November 2nd is the movie.
I want you to talk about it all the time. He was just a gay guy. He didn't do anything else.
He was a gay guy in a band.
Yes. You know, he was just a gay guy. He wasn't in the band.
Yeah.
Him being in the band was just secondary. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter that he was one of the greatest rock musicians of the 20th century.
An innovator.
Innovator.
A magnificent performer.
Yes. He was just gay. That's all we need to focus on. We don't need to focus on any of the rest of the shit. Stop it. Stop saying that you want to be treated like a normal person and then make that the center of what you're talking about.
And how could you possibly think that there would be no reference in a movie that both of the surviving members of Queen are a part of would not have any reference to who he was personally?
Yeah.
How could you think that wouldn't be in there?
Yeah, stop it.
It's ridiculous. Because, yeah, Freddie Mercury was gay.
Yes. The name of your band is Queen. We know.
And you're right, there was just so much more to him and his talent and who he was that to ignore it is just incredibly stupid.
Like, why would we talk? I mean, like I said, it's an important part, but that's not. I mean, I'm pretty sure I didn't know he was gay until I was an adult.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there were a lot of people.
Basically, when it came out that he was dying of AIDS.
Yeah. So, for people like me, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't essential to who he was because it wasn't about that. It was about the music, his music.
And because you're not homophobic, it wasn't like, well, he's a gay, he deserved what he got.
Yeah. Was not essential to, it is a part of the story, but it's not essential to the story because a lot of people didn't know. And then still, and look, and found out and still didn't care.
Yeah.
They still loved the music.
Yeah.
And the performances.
Meanwhile, everybody thought that Rod Stewart had to have his stomach pumped because there was a quart of jizz in it.
Yes.
Rod Stewart not gay.
No.
Did he experiment? Maybe. Who knows?
again, stop saying you want to be treated like everybody else, and then when we talk about you like you're a regular person, not that being gay is not being a regular person, but when we talk about you as a whole person,
right?
Don't complain that we didn't focus enough on the fact that what you did in the bedroom.
Yeah.
When you say that you want to get away from that.
Fair point. Agreed. So November 2nd, Bohemian Rhapsody hits theaters. Be there or be square.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
A man was arrested for masturbating in public, and he told police engaging in such illicit sessions helped with his anxiety, according to an arrest report. Cops alleged that Carlos Salvador, who's 20, was naked from the waist down when a witness spotted him around 2:30 a.m. inside a 24-hour laundromat in Clearwater, Florida.
Did you say 2:30 a.m.?
Yes, sir. In a 911 call, the witness reported that the male suspect had an erect penis and was masturbating out in the open. When police arrived at the laundromat, Salvador was seated inside and masturbating while watching pornography on his phone. During questioning, he reportedly admitted to previously masturbating in public, saying that it helps with his anxiety. He was arrested for exposure of sexual organs, which is a misdemeanor, and booked into county jail, later released on his own recognizance. Maybe fidget spinners next time, sir.
What are you being anxious about at 2 o'clock in the morning in the laundromat?
That you can't masturbate at home? I mean, if you can't masturbate at home at 2:30 in the morning, I think that's probably reason enough to be a little bit fidgety. Just saying. Also in Florida, a man was arrested for deliberately cutting his neighbor with a chainsaw during an argument over a shrub. That's right, a shrubbery. According to the sheriff's office, around 6:34 p.m., deputies responded to a call about an ongoing dispute between neighbors. The initial call was about an aggravated battery. The ongoing issue was between the neighbors about shrubs that are growing between the property lines. However, video from the scene shows one of the man's disposing of branches when the other arrived home. It shows a verbal argument between the two before one man begins hugging the shrub.
I'm going to hug on the shrub.
In a clear and deliberate act, the other man cut with a chainsaw, and the first man can be seen shoving him in the back. His tendons were cut in his arm. So there was an arrest for aggravated battery and simple battery, and a trip to the Lando Lakes Detention Center.
That's where he belongs. Take your monkey ass to jail. Do not pass $200. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
It's one of those crazy things. This was a heartwarming story that I enjoyed seeing. I think you'll enjoy it as well. Turn that music down. An athlete with 12 toes is getting some custom-made Adidas footwear after an appeal. After becoming the first Indian athlete to win gold in the heptathlon at the Asian Games, 21-year-old Swapna Barman appealed for appropriate footwear. The Sports Authority of India has now confirmed that Adidas will provide custom-made shoes for her. There she is, Kareem. There she is, holding the flag above. She was born with 6 toes. She's had injuries to her knee, ankle, and back. And before the game, she had a really bad toothache, which would explain that red piece of tape on her face. Despite all that, she became the first Indian to win the heptathlon. She's 21. She spoke after winning the regional Olympics title of how her rare deformity caused agony with each step in her final event, the 800 meters. Said, I use normal shoes worn by people who have 5 normal toes. It really pains during training. It's very uncomfortable in whether I wear spikes or normal shoes. So Sports Authority India arranged for Adidas to, make some special shoes for her. There are her toes, Kareem, all 12 of them.
Like, she should get better grip. Maybe that's why she's winning.
Well, if you gotta cram an extra tootsie into your track shoes, I can see where that would be a problem.
Just get wide.
her feet look, Yeah, they're just keep going out like a funnel.
Yeah.
I'm troubled by the red tape. I have a toothache. I'm going to put a big piece of tape on the outside.
Somebody told her it would work.
So that's the good news for the day. Adidas is going to take care of the athlete with 12 toes. So I look forward to hearing about that the next time NBC has the Olympics. Ooh, good times. Good times. I'm sure that'll be a long, long piece about her 12 toes.
12 toes.
12 toes. All right.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. Small town news and we're out of here. More from Speak Out. Hey, if there's such a thing as eternal damnation, it must involve endless hours of forced viewing of the WNBA and the LPGA. What a sexist dick.
Who watches the LPGA?
Lesbians. Oops. People who like women's golf. By the way, congratulations to the Seattle Storm for winning the WNBA title.
I actually like women's golf. I watch it the time to time.
Hi, Diana Hong. It's astonishing to hear the local Vermont News Channel journalists not only speak glowingly of a LGBTQ parade, but announce their participation without even the pretense of objectivity or even awareness that it's not their role, no matter their personal feelings. What? You're against the gay pride parade?
Didn't say that. Don't try to blame it on the anchors.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. Hey, after all the reports confirming the dangerous health effects of Roundup, I just witnessed it being sprayed all over the county government center grounds.
Oops.
There are better ways to keep up the building that doesn't include drenching it in poison that will seep into the ground or get on the shoes of our children walking in the courtyard. I'm appalled! Well, see, you actually have a right to be appalled. Unlike most people who are complaining that someone's going to be in the Pride Parade. Just say it. I mean, unbelievable. People so upset about shit that doesn't matter. Oh no, they're going to be in a parade. Oh, how dare they speak like being gay is not a problem.
It's not.
And finally, another angry old person writes, how is it that I worked for 47 years, paid for health insurance, retired, and still pay insurance, yet my taxes are being used to provide free insurance for village employees? We elected a mayor and board to do right by us, and this is not right.
It's not right.
Well, here's what you do. Vote Democrat and tell them you want single-payer health coverage. And then you won't have to buy health insurance because everyone will be covered.
Exactly.
I know this person won't do that because clearly they're just angry. And they don't want the solution. They just want to yell about it. And that's the problem. Old people and people who just want to complain and don't want to hear the solution.
Yes.
Oh, the government's wasting all this money on welfare programs. Yeah, for corporations.
Exactly.
Why, you know who's getting, you know who's on a lot of this welfare you don't like? People who are working full time at Walmart.
Yeah. So you're gonna, again, fuck Walmart. And, oh, I can't say that. Never mind. Fuck Walmart. Pay your damn people. You got more money than God. You can afford to pay your people.
The same thing goes to Amazon. And by the way, shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlinShow.com. And then write them an angry letter.
That's what I was about to say.
No, I own it. Amazon underpays their people.
Yes.
They absolutely do.
And work the fuck out of their people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to work there. Remember, unemployment is so low under Donald Trump that you can pretty much go anywhere and get another job.
Yes. Get the fuck out of Amazon unless you're going to be a boss.
You know, that's true in a lot of places.
Yes, but I think it's easier to be a boss at Amazon than it is a lot of places.
Well, it's like working at McDonald's. If you're not in the manager program, you ain't making shit.
Become a manager.
That's where the money is. If you ain't a manager, then you're one of the people that are expendable. Until somebody above them comes in and says the managers are expendable.
So they need to save some money.
Exactly. That's what's happening. All right, that's going to do it for us for the week. Everybody have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Jason, feel better. And Kareem, enjoy North Carolina. I hope it's going well.
Hopefully I won't be floating down the river.
That's always good. We'll see you next time. We'll have a classic episode on Monday and back with fresh new shows for you next week. Bye-bye.